ID, please. Those words, they could be exciting, like when you would go on an international missions trip with a passport. This actually is the passport. It shows that you can actually get a passport for a baby. Can you see that baby picture? That's Benjamin. And during the end, at the very end of Vacation Bible School, he and his wife had their first baby. So I thought that I would show his passport as a baby because of that. The words ID, please, can be nerve-wracking, like with a driver's license. If you get stopped by a cop, ooh, the new fancy Maryland higher security driver's licenses. It could be ho-hum. It could be ho-hum if you just have to like show an ID to get into a school cafeteria, a college. In this case, it was a seminary, just to get a meal. We have all sorts of ways of identifying people nowadays. Our phones, right? Our phones have become integral parts of identification. I was thinking about this, that if you're on a website, sometimes they want to confirm your identity. They'll send you a code, 4 numbers, 6 numbers, and you have to enter that in. When we lived in Bolivia, people, including foreigners, including those who came into the country, they had to have an identity card. This is Vivian's identity card. A little bit younger in those days, but this was her identity card from Bolivia that she needed. And sometimes in the U.S., we have our social security number kind of gets used that way. Did you realize that you and I, if we say that we have received Christ into our lives, that in God's eyes, that we are identified with Christ's life? Have you thought about that? Look at these great words from Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And those are verses 4 through 6. But how do we understand all that? How do we understand the kind of things that that's talking about? How is that even possible? Well, we know that part of it is what Paul says at the beginning of Ephesians, like in chapter 1. He uses this phrase, and then you see it all throughout what he's written, just the simple words, in Christ, right? We are in Christ. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus and in what he did on the cross, there is a spiritual connection with him that is made. And from that point on, God then identifies our life with Christ's life. So our lives are identified with Christ's. And we shouldn't have to be asked to present that identification that we have. We should want to show that identification that we have with him. And an important part of our identification with Christ is being baptized for our faith. And that's what we're actually going to focus on this morning, being baptized in water. So this is where we're going to begin. Baptism in general is identification. So I'm going to make 4 statements. You're going to see the 4 statements come up there on the slides this morning. This is the very first of those 4 statements. And I'm hoping that when you see those 4 statements, that they're going to be easy enough that you could actually remember them and share them with somebody, because it's kind of common for someone to ask and say, well, what does your church believe about baptism? So our first statement is that baptism in general is identification. Did you realize that the New Testament talks about different kinds of baptism? What I mean by that is there are physical baptisms, there are spiritual baptisms, there are even metaphorical baptisms that are mentioned in the New Testament. But what all of them have in common, no matter what kind of baptism it is, what they have all in common is this idea of ID, of identification. So here's 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea," Red Sea, right? "And they all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that last part, that the Israelites were baptized into Moses, you know, that sounds kind of complicated. But it's a lot easier to understand that when we realize, in general, baptism is identification. So when the Israelites were under God's protective cloud, and when they passed safely through the Red Sea, God identified their lives, the lives of the Israelites, with Moses. God associated them with Moses. You're with Moses? Go ahead, you're safe. That's the idea. Let's look at another example. This is from Acts 19, verse 4. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. At the point of undergoing John's baptism, people identified their lives with repentance. Here's another one. Speaking of John the Baptist, in Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and he, John, was preaching, saying, after me one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to bend down and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus baptizes his followers with the Holy Spirit, meaning that by his power, Jesus makes the Holy Spirit part of their identity, part of our identity. So this is a simple thing that we're trying to lay down first, that baptism in general is identification. When you are reading the New Testament and you see the word baptism or a form of the word baptized, just think identification or think identity. With what or with whom are people in the passage being identified? So now, with that in mind, with this idea that it's in general talking about identity, it's talking about identification, now let's go ahead and look at Galatians 3:27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, clothing often helps to identify someone. We may even do this kind of subconsciously. Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they trendy? Are they a doctor? Are they a miner? Are they a fireman? Clothing helps identify. So those baptized in Christ have clothed themselves with Christ, meaning that this, with this spiritual baptism, God the Father identifies us with the Lord Jesus. Just the reference to baptism alone should speak to us about this idea of identity. But then the fact that it talks about clothed, it's kind of like a double identification reference in the verse. The lives of believers are identified with the life of Christ. That's how it's possible that Paul can talk about some of those things that way. So we're going to dig into that a little bit more. We're going to dig into this idea of how a Christian's life is identified with Christ. A couple of verses I'm going to show you that are much more specific with that. What I'm about to show you is a big chunk of verses. I understand that it fills up the entire slide, Romans 6, 3 through 5. But I'm going to do it on purpose because I think it's important to be able to see all of it at the same time to make the best connections. So here it is. Paul says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So now we can see more specifically how our lives are identified with Christ. Once we receive Christ, God then identifies our lives with Christ's death, but then also in his newness of life. In other words, with his resurrection. Spiritually speaking, our lives become associated with Christ's death and resurrection, for which I say thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to say thank you, Lord? Thank you. Right. We are identified with his death and his resurrection. Another verse that's kind of similar to this, it's a lot shorter, is from Colossians 2:12. Paul is saying, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we're talking about spiritual truths. Generally speaking, in God's eyes, believers are identified with Christ. Specifically, we're identified with Christ's death and resurrection. And I decided that I want to point something out that I think doesn't really get talked about very much, but I think it's really helpful when you do your own Bible reading. And it's that there is a difference between being baptized into versus being baptized into the name of or in the name of. Okay, so those are the two things. There's a difference between those. When the New Testament talks about being baptized into Christ, or 1 Corinthians 12, being baptized into one body, it's talking about something that's happening spiritually, okay? Into Christ, into one body, it's something that's happening spiritually. We don't see it happen. It's invisible to us. It's spiritual. So this is talking about a spiritual, non-physical baptism. That's when the word into is just by itself. But baptized in the name of, or baptized into the name of, that's different. That's physical. It's a reference to baptism in water, and it is something that people can see. So being baptized into versus baptized into the name of, or baptized in the name of, into is spiritual, into or in the name of, that's physical. The word name is what gives that away. The mixed adult Sunday school class right now is going through the book of Acts. Non-denominational women's community Bible study is going to be starting the book of Acts up in the fall in September. You can ask Vivian about that. When we see baptism in the name of Jesus Christ or in the name of the Lord Jesus in Acts, throughout the book of Acts, it is a reference to water baptism. This is the same thing with the Great Commission. When you think about the Great Commission with Matthew 28, baptizing in the name of, right? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a reference to water baptism. Baptized into Christ is what's happening spiritually. It's our spiritual connection. And I say this because there are times that people look at Romans 6. We took some verses from Romans 6, and they talk about Romans 6 as if it's a reference to water baptism. But it's into Christ. And so it's better to see those verses as what happens to somebody spiritually when they come to Christ. Think about the thief on the cross. Think about other people for, you know, different reasons. There have been believers through the ages that have genuinely been believers, but they were not able to be physically baptized with water. In other words, they couldn't access it for some reason. But yet when you think about all those who have believed, they have been, all who have believed, have been spiritually baptized. In other words, their lives have immediately been associated, have immediately been identified with Christ's death and resurrection. Okay, the bulk of our time this morning, I decided to really try to drive home this first statement, because it's important to get down this first idea, that baptism in general is identification. And now we're going to go much more quickly through 2, 3, and 4 of those statements. And it's important now to understand, why is it then that identification in this physical way with baptism, why is that important, being baptized in water for a faith? When we think about water baptism, it's important to know that water baptism is a command. That's the second statement. A short time ago, I made reference to the Great Commission. We're now going to go ahead and take a look at those verses. Jesus says at the end of Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you." By the way, sorry for the little rabbit trail. We were once in a service in Bolivia, right? Obviously in Spanish, in our home church in Bolivia. And somebody came in to try to disrupt the service, and they were arguing against the Trinity. And I said, It's one God in three persons. Why would it say the name of instead of the names of? One name, one God, right? They're unity. Anyway, in the original language, as you look there, we may think that there's more than one command, but in the original language, there's only one command, and it's to make disciples. That's the only command that's there. But grammatically, there's a connection of how we obey that command. And it's by looking for those ing words. They're extensions of the command because it tells us how. So the first way that's mentioned there of how to obey this command by Jesus is by baptizing. Whenever we look at this, we also have to remember that what was understood at that time, we need to explain it nowadays, but what was understood at that time is that evangelism had already taken place, right? That's like the foundation of what's gone on here. There was baptism that took place, and then soon after a person became a disciple, what the early church did was that they then would baptize the person in water. We've kind of gotten away a little bit from that nowadays. Well, why is it then, if this is a command, why is it that there are people today who are genuine disciples of Christ? They genuinely are followers of Christ, but that they've not obeyed the command to be baptized. Sometimes it's because people don't understand what water baptism is about, what it really means. Kind of connected with that is because they've not really been told, they've not been taught what it means. That was my case, actually. I didn't really understand what baptism meant. I went 2 years after accepting Christ before I even got baptized. And sometimes that's the case with others. And sometimes there are people who say, well, I'm not ready yet. As if they have to attain to some kind of standard in their Christian walk. But there's nothing that says anything about that. It's simply that they're to obey that command rather than try to attain some kind of standard. Others think that it's kind of an option, again, because of not understanding what it's about. For the believing Christian, water baptism is not an option. It's part of the Lord's command. Next, I'd like us to consider this. Water baptism is a picture. This is an extension of the verses that we've already looked at. It's kind of to be inferred from what we saw earlier. Water baptism, being baptized in the name of, this is meant to show physically, it's meant to show people visually what's already gone on inside spiritually. So as we saw earlier, when somebody receives Christ, they are spiritually baptized into Christ. That's the time when God then identifies them and associates them with Jesus' death and resurrection. But physically, that's different. Physically, each of us has to choose to visually identify ourselves with the life of Christ. People talk about the mode of baptism. If you're a newer Christian, that may not even be an expression that you know. When we talk about mode of baptism, we talk about, you know, should people be immersed? Should they be dunked in water completely? Should they have it poured over them? Should they have it sprinkled on them? I think that we could agree that when you think about what it's representing, that the best way to picture the spiritual truth of burial and resurrection is to be dunked, to be immersed. I think that's the best picture. But should we be dogmatic and say it must be that way? Personally, I'm going to say no, because it's just an outward picture. It's an outward picture of showing people what has gone on inside. And because it is just an outward picture of this more important change that has happened inside of a person, I'm going to be a little bit opinionated here. I think, frankly, it's prideful or ignorant for a congregation to not accept a person's baptism in faith. And there are churches that do that. No. If you're going to become a member here, you have to be baptized here, or you have to be baptized in our way. In other words, they could ignore what was previously done. I'm just stating my conviction on this. This is not a church position. This is not necessarily how the elder board feels. But for me, I think it's prideful or ignorant. There are churches where there might be believers that have been sprinkled with water, or maybe they've been dunked, or maybe water has been poured on them. The baptism can be where it's just done one time. Vivian's has a brother in their church. They do it three times. They immerse three times, one for each name of the persons of the Trinity. You can be immersed in a forward direction. You could be immersed in a backward direction, which is what we tend to do, tell the person to hold on to their nose. But if a person has been baptized in water after they've received Christ, I personally don't think that it's right to require them to be baptized in water again for their faith. And you might notice that I just said, you know, for their faith, after they have received Christ. And that's what's going to bring us to our final point, which really is key. Water baptism is based on belief. The book of Acts is the best place to see examples of baptism in water. You want to see baptism examples? The best place looking at Christians being baptized is in the book of Acts. Of the many examples that the book of Acts provides, we just have time to look at two. So I'm just going to go ahead and show you two. Acts 8, 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he was preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were being baptized." Pretty straightforward, when they believed. Here's another one. This is from Acts 16, talking about the Philippian jailer, 33 and 34. "And he, the jailer, took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and was overjoyed, since he became a believer in God together with his whole household." So the jailer and his household were baptized because the jailer and his household became believers. At the end of verse 34, it says, "believer in God." Earlier in verse 31, Paul and Silas had been very specific, and they had said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." So when it says belief, water baptism is based on belief. It means personal belief, a personal faith, a personal salvation. So again, this is my conviction. I'm not speaking on behalf of the church, but I'm just going to say that, you know, we can look at Israel. We can see how infants were circumcised. We can talk about church traditions. We can look at early church history. But for me, the bottom line is that in the New Testament, the only people we see baptized in water after Christ ascends back up to heaven, it's based on belief. It's based on personal faith. I was baptized as a baby. You know, maybe you were baptized as a baby too. I decided to keep the certificate of when my parents had me baptized as a baby. But as a baby, I didn't believe yet. The command of the Lord is to be baptized. And the book of Acts shows us that's to happen after we believe. Here's a summary of what we have seen this morning. Our lives are identified with Christ's, so we should show that identification. An important part of that is being baptized for our faith. We have all sorts of ways of being identified. You know, little retina scans with cameras up in a corner like we saw in a movie. Maybe that's coming in the future. There are all sorts of ways that we get identified. I showed you some of them. Well, with regards to what we're talking about this morning, a good question to ask ourselves is how much or in what ways are we identifying ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ? If we were to ask friends, if we were to ask relatives, fellow workers, fellow students, and we were to say, what words most identify me? Would they put Christian near the top, based on seeing us? as we think through this and the implications of it, really the first thing that we're trying to establish in our minds, really, is where are we at spiritually? Where are we at spiritually? If you're at a place where you don't have, honestly, before the Lord, where you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that could be solved today. Some of the kids took advantage of that during the week, and they prayed to receive Christ. That can change today. You can start a personal relationship with Jesus today where you understand, I've done things that are wrong. I've thought things that are wrong. I've said things that are wrong. But Christ can wipe that slate clean for us and put us started on a new path, a new adventure that glorifies Him. And I just want to say that if you don't have that relationship with Jesus yet, don't seek water baptism. Okay, it's not something to get saved. The change has to happen first. The conviction has to happen first. There's nothing that we do, even religiously, there's nothing that we do that gets us saved. It's by faith that we're saved. So the first thing is to get right with God and then to start to seek His kingdom, to see His reign increase in our lives. But I would say probably most of us, as far as I know, we already have that relationship. And if you have that relationship, it doesn't matter how old you are. You shouldn't be embarrassed no matter how old you are. Where are we with regards to water baptism? I don't know if you happen to notice, but we had the outline as an insert this week, and that's because on the back there's a series of questions that people are to answer. Some of you, I'm sure, if you looked in your bulletin, you probably already saw this. You're not to do it now. You can do it in a few minutes when we close the service. But if you look at the back of the sheet, you can see that I've tried to create a simple, straightforward way of that each person can look at their life with regards to baptism. So please take a few minutes. It won't even take you that long. Later today, look at this and see where you end up. I can get extras of this if anybody didn't get a copy. After you go through that sheet, if you conclude that you need to be baptized, I would love it if you come and talk to me. Our lives are identified with Christ. We should live out that identification with that, even being asked for that ID. Baptism is a great way to show that identification that we have with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. I thank Father God of how we're just so likely as a church through the ages to tend toward this legalistic thinking of maybe baptism saves me, maybe it has to be done in an exact way, while missing the big picture that really baptism is about our lives being identified with the Son, with what Jesus did, being identified with His death and His resurrection. And that's why we don't have to fear condemnation. Because now, Father, you've associated us with His perfect completion of His mission. And I pray, Father God, that if there's anybody who hasn't gotten that yet, that you'll just open their eyes to your greatness, the lengths to which you went to send your Son on this mission, and how in perfect compliance with your will, it was His desire for what was set before Him, for the joy that He knew was coming, to be able to rescue those in need of salvation, which is all of us. And most of us here, Father, you know hearts, have indeed done that. But I pray, Father God, for anyone who hasn't, that they'll have that blindness taken away and they'll accept the gift of salvation that you offer, so we can start to live in accordance with your desires for us, your will for us. But I pray also, Father God, for those that maybe, like me, have gotten baptized earlier in their life. Maybe they got baptized as a baby or some other point, but it was before they personally believed, that you would guide them in what they should do. We'll leave that to your Spirit, Lord, whether someone should or should not be baptized again. And then if they've never been baptized, Lord, that you'll also guide their thinking. We want to live in obedience to you, and that includes the command that Jesus left to make disciples even by baptizing. And we pray, Father God, that this would also help clarify our thoughts so that we could then also convey to others, don't do baptism because you think it'll get you into heaven. Receive Christ. We can share with them how it really is meant to be a great picture of what Jesus has done. And then we get to show it to people visually. But more than anything else, Father, for anyone who claims to have received the Lord Jesus, oh Lord, have mercy on us and help us to live better, to identify easily that others can identify in us that we really are one of yours and that we live for you. We live for your glory. All these things, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.